The following podcast contains explicit language.
How much did you, Prince Harry, know about Meghan? Had you seen her on TV?
No, I'd never even heard about her until this friend said Meghan Markle. I was like, right, okay, give me a bit of background. what's going on here? I'd never watched Suits. I'd never heard of Meghan before. Mm-hmm. And I was beautifully surprised when I walked into that room and saw her. And there she was sitting there. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have to up my game. I'm going to sit down and have and make sure I've got a good show.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Represent. I'm Aisha Harris, and unless you've been living under a rock or care even less about these things than I do, you'll know that we're just days away from the historic royal wedding of Prince Harry and American-born former star of the show Suits, Meghan Markle. So in advance of the big event, our friend Kristen Meinzer, co-host of the podcast By the Book and When Meghan Met Harry, returned to the show to chat about her obsession with the royals and to explain to me, a royal skeptic, why I shouldn't be so cynical about the love the two of them share. So without further ado, grab your fascinators and let's dig into this highly publicized romance. Joining me in the studio today is my dear colleague, Kristen Meinzer, who many of our listeners may recognize. You were on our show probably, 6 months ago, a while back ago, to talk about how much you loved the Great American Bake Off.
Yes, it was a spinoff of the Great British Bake Off, and
yes,
it was featuring Americans. And sadly, that show is no longer with us because there was a Me Too moment with one of the judges on the show.
So yes, we had actually the last winner of that season.
Oh, that's right. She was
well.
On. Oh,
yes.
I felt so bad for her.
Yes, yes. But, well, RIP. But today, Kristen, you are here to talk about something a lot more exciting and happy.
Yes, the happiest thing in the whole world.
That you are also very obsessed with, which is
the wedding of Prince Harry to Meghan Markle. That's right. American Hollywood star, woman of color, divorcee. I'm just going to say it again. American. She is marrying Prince Harry.
I know.
And I just cannot tell you how excited I've been about this. And I've been a royal watcher my entire life. Mm-hmm. My mother was an Anglophile. I was brought up to care very deeply about all of the stuff that happens in this family. The weddings, the affairs, the beheadings, all the inbreeding,
whoa, all of the stuff.
I'm totally into the whole royal family.
What beheadings?
Oh, back in history. This family's been
going at it for
1,300 years.
Okay.
They're like the longest running reality show family ever. And it's always drama.
It is always drama. And what will I think make this interesting is that I bring you here because I am a very passive, I don't give a...
I know, you don't care.
But I do find it very fascinating, our nation's obsession with this, especially considering the fact that we fought to get away from the British people.
We fought, but at the same time, we're obsessed with the royals. And even, I'm sure you already know this, even when George Washington first became president, Americans wanted him to be a king. And he's like,
I know,
that's not what things are about here, guys. That's what we were fighting against. I'm not going to be a king. So we have a long history of, being either used to the royals or being obsessed with the royals or thinking that maybe there's something great about having a king or a queen.
Yeah.
And look at all the Disney movies. We love princesses. We love kings.
So for someone like myself, I get an idea. I've read a lot about her since I discovered she existed, which is when...
You're talking about Meghan Markle.
Meghan Markle, yes. And so why... First of all, why do you care specifically about Meghan Markle? What makes her different, aside from her obviously being a woman of color, because that's a big deal? But what about her is so fascinating and
can't I make that
endearing?
The first on my list, though? That is,
yeah.
Honestly, that is the first thing on my list.
Mm.
For centuries, the royal family has conquered or ruled or taken over or annexed places where the people have a complexion more like yours or mine.
Yes.
And yet they would never deem to marry those people. They wouldn't consider it appropriate to marry anybody who looked like me or you,
mm-hmm,
for centuries. And now they actually have somebody joining the family who looks like London, who looks like Jamaica, who looks like Hong Kong, who looks like all of these places in the world. There's a little bit more melanin. And finally, all these places that had to wave flags and say, God save the Queen, that never actually were represented in the family. Meghan Markle looks a little bit more like all those people. And yeah. that's very meaningful to me. So it's not just like, oh, isn't it great there's a black woman in there? No, it's that you ruled over millions of people for centuries and none of those people ever got to be in the palace.
Yeah. I guess where I get a little, where obviously this is a show about representation and I think that representation is so important. And I also think that Meghan seems to carry herself very well and seems very smart and very aware of like what this means. Like she's going into this very open-eyed as someone who is of mixed heritage. At the same time, it's like the reason why this is all happening is just because she like met and fell in love with someone, which to me feels like sort of just antiquated in a way. Like it's not like she's one. I want to hear your thoughts.
Okay.
But like it's so she is, I guess, forging a path and is making her way and in a way in, I don't want to say infiltrating, but like she is taking on this position that no woman of color, at least as far as we know, has been able to do.
Not officially so.
But is that progress? Do you think that great thing?
I'm going to say something here. Mm-hmm. Your idea that love is not revolutionary breaks my heart, because is there any romance in that heart of yours? Love is a revolutionary act. Think about, isn't it truly revolutionary for a gay person to be able to say, as a gay man, I love this man? Or is it truly revolutionary for a white prince who for hundreds and hundreds of years, princes like him had to marry a certain kind of woman, regardless of whether or not they wanted to?
Yeah.
And for him to say, no, this is the woman I love. And that is a revolutionary act, to love who you want to love and move forward with your relationship the way you want to move forward with it. I think that's beautiful and revolutionary. I don't see it as antiquated.
Yeah. I mean, they've been dating less than 2 years. Like, I feel like the whole...
I got married on my 2-year anniversary of dating, and they are too. I don't think that's a bad thing to get married after 2 years. I would feel differently if it was like after 4 weeks.
I don't know. Here's where I reveal like my personal thoughts about people and relationships, which like obviously it's not none of my business, because everyone should do what they want to do. And it just feels in a way, antiquated might be the wrong word, but to place so much significance on her for a choice she made that is romantic to me doesn't feel as... I don't know, empowering in a way, if that's,
yeah,
if that's
I mean,
the right
they're
word.
Not changing structural racism. They're not changing the laws on the books. They're not changing, you know, thousands of years of history of oppression. They're not doing that. And I get that. I get what you're saying there.
Yeah.
But I still think love is a revolutionary force.
And I I'm actually really happy that people see that in themselves. And it's very fascinating to me I've seen a lot of my friends, black female friends, who are just like, yes, this is exciting. And I wish I could feel that way. I wish and I don't wish, but like, I wish I could feel that way about it. But I also, it's even less so about Meghan herself and more so just about the fact that like, I really don't care. Like, the royal family to me is just...
And you're not alone.
I know.
In the UK, a lot of people feel like this is a waste of my tax dollars. Who are these self-anointed gods? Why do we have these people who are in castles? I don't know why this is happening. A lot of people feel that way, both in the US, in the UK, and the rest of the world. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be honest here. I think I'm in the minority. I think a lot of people are interested, follow them. A lot of people don't care about them. Very few people are as obsessed as I am, I'm sure. So I think I'm probably in the minority with my level of obsession.
Maybe, but again, they sell those, you know, all those tabloids. They still sell very well.
And, that's true.
You know, and maybe not in New York here, because, you know, but like...
Even in New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The covers of Us Weekly, In Touch, if you look at them every week, that's what it is ever since the relationship started, and it really amped up after the wedding date was announced. And, I mean, tourism... related to the royals, that's the number one source of money coming in to the UK. So,
yeah,
you know, I guess I take it back. A lot of people are as obsessed as I am.
So I don't want to shit on your love of the royals, because listening to your podcast that we haven't even mentioned your podcast, which is crazy. You do a wonderful podcast with James Barr.
Mm-hmm. James Barr. He's an MTV UK host and he's wonderful.
And yes, so he's across the pond. And your show, When Meghan Met Harry, you both are just so enthusiastic and I get it. I get the obsession because I obsess over similar things in the same way that you do. And you get into all these very interesting topics about astrology and the way their marriage is working. You talk a lot about Samantha, her very, can we say bitchy?
Our official title for her is Meghan's bitch older half-sister, Samantha. That's like the full title for her every time we mention her.
Yes, yes. And recent episode, you had a whole like discussion of fascinators, which I'd never heard of them before. Can you briefly explain what a fascinator is?
Oh, they're just supposed to be fascinating. You put them in your hair or on your head and yeah, they're kind of like hats, only they're useless. They don't actually keep the sun or the rain off of you. They're really just there to catch your eye.
Yeah.
And to be beautiful and to be interesting. Or in the case of Princesses Eugenie and Beatrice, I don't know if you saw this because you don't follow the royals, but during the wedding of Wills and Kate, they famously wore fascinators, one of which looked kind of like a toilet bowl cover.
I actually do remember that because I remember it sparking up. I think it sparked up comparisons to Aretha Franklin's hat at Obama's.
Oh, yes. She had quite a hat.
I remember that hat. At Obama's inauguration.
Yes.
So I remember. Yes, I remember the comparisons there. But so I do want to talk about, like, are you guys going to talk about when we're recording this is a little bit far out from when the actual wedding is happening. But before the wedding happens, there is going to be a Lifetime movie about.
Oh, we are so pumped.
Meghan and Harry.
Have you watched the trailer 200 times like I have?
I watched it like 4 times.
Hi there.
Hey. So what is it you do?
I'm kind of the Prince of England. There goes
my heart. Did you get a little bit emotional?
No, but I found it. But I did. I watched it 4 times because I was really astonished by the casting. Like they actually look like if you squint hard enough, the guy who's playing Harry looks like Harry. And the woman playing Meghan really does look like they could be like siblings, maybe.
So much better than when they did the Wills and Kate one. The Wills and Kate. It's like, really? You just found anybody with brown hair to play Kate and you found any white guy and said you're Wills. Oh, yeah. My God. The last was very, very bad. So this time around, I think they accepted the criticism from the last movie and they said, we're going to do better with Harry and Meghan. We know that a lot of people have their eye on this wedding. More people are going to watch this than any other royal wedding that's ever taken place. My theory is this will be the most watched event ever in human history.
Yeah. I mean, one of the reasons you've given is obviously it's the fact that this is an American woman marrying into the royal family.
Yes, and absolutely.
Of course, you know, I can totally understand that wanting to see that happen. And when I was on your show for an episode, even though I don't care about them, you all brought me on to talk about the Spice Girls. And,
yes.
And at that time, there were rumors that the Spice Girls might be playing at the wedding. Unfortunately, it seems like that's not going to happen. But
I don't know, because they go back and forth
maybe
on things, and maybe it'll be a surprise thing at the reception.
Can you imagine them popping up and then all of a sudden it's like, there's fire and there's things flying from the floor,
yes,
because that's how their wedding is going to happen. There'll be like rigged things happening. And then all of a sudden they're just like, if you want to be my love, it'll be so amazing. I see, that's the one thing I'm like really excited about. If that happens,
then you are going to have to switch teams and be on my side of all this. You're going to have to be pro-royal after that.
Look, if Meghan and Harry can bring the Spice Girls back together, I'm all for it.
That is a force for love, which is revolutionary. See? It all comes full circle.
It
all does. But yeah, to go back to your original question, are we going to talk about this Lifetime movie? Obviously. We've talked about the trailer. We've talked about the casting. And I mean, Meghan, I can't even imagine how she feels to be somebody who has made for television movies and then to be the subject of one.
Wait, so can you talk a little bit, describe the two that she's done? She's done two Hallmark movies,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. The first one is called
When Sparks Fly, which is so good. And it's a 4th of July themed one. And it is the story of a woman who's a journalist in the big city. She's looking for the next big story. And it turns out her editors want her to go back home and cover her family business that she grew up in. Her parents make fireworks and put on fireworks displays. And when she goes back to her hometown to cover how the business gets ready every year for the 4th of July displays, she finds out that her ex-boyfriend is now getting married to one of her best friends. And this friend of hers, who's kind of a bridezilla, she's kind of high maintenance, asks, can you help me plan this wedding? So now she has to help plan the wedding of her friend and her ex-boyfriend while covering the story of her family's fireworks business, which she realizes is going under. It's financially really in trouble. And I don't want to give away the ending, but I will say the title is not lying. Sparks do fly.
They it sounds do. Like a combination of like The Wedding Planner meets 27 Dresses meets every rom-com in which the lead character is a journalist or works in media of some sort.
It's so good. It's so good. And I'm not going to lie. I love Hallmark movies. I've seen many, many Hallmark movies. I love the Christmas ones. I love Spring Fever. I love, I think they changed the title. I think it used to be called The Fall in Love Movies, but it's like Autumn Harvest now, I think they call them. Mm-hmm. Summer Nights, all their movies, like, you know, When Sparks Fly.
Yeah.
I mean, love all of their movies.
Well, I will say, even though you think that I have no love in my heart, I do enjoy a very bad Hallmark movie, Christmas movies especially. Oh, I know so how much good. You love, because you were always talking about it on By the Book.
Yes, I'm obsessed with Christmas.
One of my favorite podcasts.
I love Christmas movies.
And it's, I do enjoy them. And I think it's really kind of fitting that we're coming back around where there's a Lifetime movie made about her as someone who, I wouldn't say she was the queen of this genre, because
she's
only
done a couple of very respected ones.
Yeah.
I mean, the other one is called The Dater's Handbook. And in that movie, she uses a self-help book to help find the right man. And she starts dating somebody who should be, according to her self-help books, Mr. Right. But maybe there's somebody else who she likes a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Is she going to follow her heart? I don't know. I can't tell you. You just have to watch the movie.
Well, it's. I want to talk a little bit more about her acting career, because she actually put out, I think this was in 2016, she wrote for the UK version of Elle an op-ed about being a biracial person and what it's meant for her to evolve and sort of embrace that and how it's actually affected her career as well. And I have to be honest, again, when I first realized she existed and she was marrying, because I've never watched Suits and was marrying Prince Harry, I was like, oh, I didn't know she was black. I think she says in this op-ed, you know, she's been deemed ethnically ambiguous, which is like a terrible thing, but like that's something she's wrestled with. And so I found that piece that she wrote in Elle for to be very fascinating. And it's interesting the way in which in a lot of movies and TV shows that she's been in, her parents have been cast as like both white.
Yeah, the Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
Her parents are cast as two white people.
Which is interesting, because I'm trying to think of a Hallmark movie where the lead was a woman of color. And is she the only one?
No, some of their Christmas movies, there are women of color in the leads.
Oh, okay.
That, yeah.
Okay.
Vanessa Williams.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Vanessa. That's true. I guess Vanessa Williams is an exception.
Didn't Tia Mowry do a couple? And then
Tia Mowry, yeah.
Million. Oh, what's her name?
Christina Milian.
Okay, what
yeah,
about?
You're right.
So, I mean, the Christmas ones for sure.
True.
Yeah. So,
although, to be fair, those women are all like fairly well known outside of Hallmark, whereas like a lot of these Hallmark movies, I feel, star white, random white women
kind
who
of
no one's ever heard of.
Yes.
It's like, I think you have to, the bar is a little bit higher generally for a woman of color to get a Hallmark movie. Like,
that's
you
possible.
Have to have established some sort of career outside of that.
Yeah. Except for Meghan Markle.
Except for Meghan.
Who then is cast with two white parents.
Right.
But yeah, the Elle article that you're talking about, I just love how forthright she is about it. And I don't know if Hollywood really appreciates the fact that she is talking about it, because I think Hollywood frequently says, hey, just be marketable to everyone. Don't talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
But she's been honest about it. And on Suits, her character, Rachel, which, by the way, Meghan Markle's real first name is Rachel. Her name is Rachel Meghan Markle. But her character on Suits is named Rachel. And Rachel at one point even says, I think it's to her boyfriend on the show during one of the earlier seasons, she actually says, well, hold on, you didn't realize I was half black? Did you think I was just tan? She's pretty much saying. And Wendell Pierce plays her dad on the show, and we all love Wendell Pierce. Or I can't speak for you. I love Wendell Pierce so much, and I want him to be my fake dad, too. Doesn't everybody want him to be your fake dad?
Wendell Pierce is amazing.
He's just amazing. And what he said about Megan and how happy he is for her and the honor of being her fake dad is just like, oh, my God. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I love Wendell Pierce. But, yeah, she's talked about this in interviews. She has, you know, played it out on Suits. She's made it very clear that she is black and she is white, and she loves her mother so much. And
her mother is black.
And her mother is black, and her mother has dreadlocks, and her mother has been ruthlessly made fun of by some of the British tabloids. They've pretty much, in so many words without saying it, pretty much said that she's a thug or she's a gangster without using those words. Straight out of Compton, I think, was one of the lines when it's like, she's actually not. She and her dad. She was working in Hollywood, and Megan's dad is an Emmy Award-winning lighting designer. And it's like her mother is a licensed social worker and a yoga instructor who used to also work in Hollywood. So the idea of in any way framing her as a thug or anything like that was clearly just the British press being totally racist.
It reminds me so much of the way in which our press treated Obama,
continues to
Michelle like in, you know, painting them as gorillas and saying that Michelle, in so many words, not saying it, but like, she's not attractive. And
She's mannish. Yeah.
She's very built and has great arms that I want to have myself. And it's just, it is interesting to see the way in which her entering into this family. And also, you know, To put it both ways, like, Harry's also entering into her family, which seems kind of dysfunctional right now, just based on the people who seem to be crawling out of the woodwork.
I don't think Meghan's family is any more dysfunctional than the rest of our families. It's not as bad as, like, Tori Spelling's family.
Attention-seeking, I think, is the word.
She's got, like, third-rung cousins and half-siblings and so on who all are itching to get into the limelight now that Meghan's marrying into the royals, but...
Her parents seem totally cool and chill.
Especially
and
her mom. Yeah. Her mom seems fantastic. Her mom seems completely down to earth, and Meghan's tight with her mom. But, I mean, I think this happens in a lot of families. One member of the family suddenly gets international acclaim, and then all of the hangers-on come out of the woodwork and try to be famous, too, or try to write books, too, or try to give interviews, too.
Yeah. What do you think? We mentioned Sam briefly, but... has the book come out?
I'm sorry. Did you say Megan's bitch older half sister Samantha? Is that what you just said?
She has a book coming out, apparently. Or did it already come out?
No idea. By the time this episode comes out, the book may or may not exist.
Are you going to read it?
Oh.
Or are you not even going to give that?
I'm not giving money to her. Yeah. No. Princess Pushy and something something is the book title. She's pretty much making fun of Megan. She is calling her an opportunist, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, it's interesting. So there's also another book coming out, the royal biographer, I guess, Andrew Morton has a book coming out.
Oh, screw him.
So,
his sources are the worst. They're like Megan's ex-husband and, you know, wow. We don't like how Megan drinks her tea. She has to learn how to drink tea like a Brit. These are the supposed stories he was able to uncover for his book.
So one of the claims he makes that I read in an interview, or I think this was just a pull quote from an interview he gave about the book, but he basically implied that the reason why the Queen is so happy about this, he compared their relationship, Harry and Meghan's relationship, to sort of like rebooting a show or a franchise. And he said, if you were sitting in a script office in Hollywood and you said, give me a character that will make the royal family relevant for the next 100 years, they would have said, okay, she's biracial, divorced, and an actor. Like, really? Do we really think that the Queen... Like, look, I have all my feelings about the Queen. Obviously, we've already discussed how I feel about that. But I don't... To me, I think they're so stodgy in their old ways to the point where I don't think that this is like a pure vanity thing. Like, I don't think they think it's going to be better press just because he's marrying a woman of color who's divorced and used to be an actor. Like, that just seems even my small little heart.
Even tiny, you find that questionable.
Even I think that, like, that's giving them a lot of, like, just making it more insidious, I think, than it could ever really be.
Well, I'm just going to say, we interviewed recently Katie Nichols, who is also a royal biographer and who's actually been friends with Harry since he was 17 and who's actually very tight with the family and knows all sorts of things.
Is there any chance that she's the one who introduced them?
No.
Because she did not. Mutual friends?
No, she did not. She is actually the author of Harry, Life, Loss, and Love, which just came out. And she also did another biography of Harry and Will's. She's very tight with all of them. And everything that she told me when I talked with her is that the royals were incredibly excited about this union just because they were worried about Harry. Harry's a really sensitive guy. He's talked about mental health. He's been very open about needing help over the years and never properly or fully reckoning with the loss of his mother. And I'm sure you know this already, or maybe you don't, but he and Wills and Kate have a foundation called Heads Together, which is all about destigmatizing mental health and giving people access to mental health resources. And they were very worried about him. He's a sensitive guy. He feels very deeply. He loves very deeply. And he was lonely. And his best friend, Wills, was married and had two kids. And all of his friends were getting married. And according to Katie Nichols, the family was just so overjoyed when they met Meghan because they'd never seen him so in love before. And Prince Philip in particular really clicked with her and thought that she was just the most fantastic. I know, Philip? The look of shock on your face.
Philip, okay.
That's what I said to him. I'm like, what? Are you kidding, Philip? I was very shocked when Katie Nichols said that.
Philip is just the king of racial and misogynistic gaffes. He's said many, many terrible things in public, and they cannot all be discounted as just the ramblings of an old man. He's kind of terrible.
But apparently those two really, really clicked. But the whole family just was so overjoyed because they were worried about Harry. The family was incredibly happy when they saw how incredibly in love he was with Meghan and how much the adoration went both ways. And what's not to love about Meghan? She's brilliant. And Harry, according to Katie Nichols, was so bowled over by her intelligence. She's not just a pretty face. She's not just a hanger-on. She's not a star fucker. She's not trying to be famous by being with him. She already had her own established career. She was already a UN ambassador. She was already somebody who was vocal even at age 11, speaking out against Procter & Gamble as a feminist.
Yes, yeah. There's
she's
a great
been a
video.
Vocal feminist, children's rights, animal rights activist since she was a kid.
Yeah.
And he was blown away by her. What's not to be impressed by?
Mm. Okay, I get it. I can find some compassion in my heart for their romance and how she's turned his life around. And hopefully he's also done the same for her, because these things should go both ways in making each other very happy and excited for life. So,
I think it does go both ways, but even better, it's the gift that gives back to all of us who love them.
I'm so glad you are, like, we're just totally game with my pushing back against.
Oh, I'm used to it. I'm used to it. I hear it every day, but I'm so glad you welcomed me onto your show anyway. And
of course.
We loved having you on our show. And it's a joy. I always love talking with you, Aisha.
Same. Before we leave, as far as the actual wedding goes, when it's televised, what time do we have to wake up to watch this? Because obviously I think they're 5 or 6 hours ahead of us here on the East Coast.
Yes.
And then, you know, for the rest of the country, even earlier.
Yes. It's going to be 12 noon GMT. I am going to be there. And I'm flying out to London a couple days earlier. The wedding is actually in Windsor Castle. So
wait, what are you wearing?
A fascinator. And James Barr is going to wear a fascinator. We've decided that he's going to wear a pink one and I'm going to wear a blue one.
Nice.
We're going to be cheering. We're going to be screaming, possibly crying. We're going to be very, very excited. It's going to be the greatest thing ever.
Wait, so are you just going to cover, or were you actually invited? Did you get an invitation?
Sadly, our invites must have gotten lost in the mail. we're still waiting for them. We don't know what happened there.
I think that's what her nephew said or something, right? On TV when he was interviewed. Maybe, I don't know. That's what a lot of her relatives from the third rungs of her family tree
said. We don't care about them. They're not invited. You guys are not invited. Not invited. Yeah, and around the world, people are having pajama and tiara parties. I know of several that are happening in New York. There are different British pubs that are opening early and showing the wedding where people can celebrate and have Pimm's cups and champagne and so on early in the day. And I just think it's going to be a fantastic day of celebration all over the world. And I'm just thrilled and excited when it's happening.
That's so exciting. I'm so excited for you because I know how much you love this. So that's going to be a monumental event.
Well, I'll send you lots of pictures, Aisha.
Good, good. I want to see lots of pictures.
Okay.
And send me all the people wearing fascinators.
Oh, yes, I will. I'll do that. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, that is all. Kristen will be covering the big event for the BBC and the CBC, and you can look out for her on-the-ground tweets at Kristen Meinzer. You can also check out her shows By the Book and When Meghan Met Harry, A Royal Wedding Cast, wherever you find your podcasts. And if you're planning to watch Harry and Meghan, A Royal Romance, on Lifetime, let us know on our Slate Represent Facebook page. Represent is produced by the lovely, amazing Verilyn Williams. Our wonderful social media assistant is Marissa Martinelli. And our intro-outro music is performed by the sweet San Francisco funk soul band, Midtown Social. Ta-ta for now!